Are Seattleites complacent in the face of hatred? Last month, two colleagues were chatting at a Starbucks on Capitol Hill when something outrageous happened. It was loud, it was hostile, it was racist and sexist, and virtually no one in that Starbucks stepped in to help. Those two colleagues are Yoshiko Harden and Bob Hughes, both college administrators. She's at Seattle Central, he's at Seattle University, both African American. They told me what happened, and I want to warn you before you listen that you might find the language here very disturbing.
It was Friday morning. We had a 10 o'clock meeting at Starbucks just to catch up. Bob and I have known each other through the education system for a while, and I'm new to my role at Seattle Central. So he reached out to say, would you like to meet? I hear you're back kind of on the hill and at the college, which is great. So we met. It was about 10:30. We were about a half hour into our meeting, and I felt something warm on my face and my forearms. And I thought that someone had tripped and spilled their drink, their warm drink. And so I looked over, and there was a young white male looking at me. And can you swear on radio?
We can try.
Okay. So, and I looked at him, and he said, you know, "F-ing nigger bitch." And I kind of stopped. And it was at that point I realized it was spit on my face and hands, that he had spit on me. And then he kind of wound up to do it again and spit again and got on me again. And for sure, at that point, I saw that it got on Bob and got on his coat. And then he yelled again and just kind of casually walked out. I got up to get some napkins, and he stood at the window and was yelling. We couldn't hear him, but assume he was yelling around the same language, same thing.
What did you guess at what was going on in his head? What do you think it was about?
Well, in that moment, I thought he's gonna kill me, is what I thought. And, you know, my professional background, 15 years working in race, ethnicity, justice work, and studied all of these type of scenarios, and have been called all of those names before, but never just someone popped off. You know, usually like I cut them off on the freeway or took their parking spot. So that was what was stunning to me. Many people have said, well, he must be crazy, quote unquote, or he must.
That's the first thing that came to mind. If he's yelling for appropriate of absolutely nothing.
Yeah. So I've seen people, I know people in my family, I see people around my job who I think might be mentally ill because they're displaying behaviors, like talking to themselves. And he wasn't displaying any of those behaviors. So my first thought was, do I know him? And then I thought, he's going to kill me.
If you'll remember, it's actually my first question to you. Do you know this guy?
Yes.
After he had walked out, because he's a much smaller man than I am. I wasn't particularly afraid, but I was kind of trying to figure out, where does he come from? And I agree with Yoshiko. I walk up and down James and Pioneer Square every day to get to work. And I've got a pretty good sense of when somebody is mentally unbalanced or displaying those kinds of behaviors. That's not what this was. This was anger. This was hate. This was someone who saw her and decided he was going to unleash his anger and hatred.
How did the people around you react to what had happened?
Well, there was a woman, a white woman, who was down near the till where you order food. And she was the person who said, manager, manager, your customers are being called racial epithets, I think is the language she used. And they're being spit on. And that's how the manager was notified that something was happening in the store table area.
But what struck you both, it sounds like, was how little reaction there was outside of this one woman, this one white woman.
Absolutely. After the incident, we waited at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half for the police. We didn't go anywhere. We were in the same spot. Nobody approached us. Nobody looked at us. Nobody talked to us. It was as if the incident didn't happen.
And this was a mixed race crowd or all white, or who was there?
It was a mixed race crowd. So it was very diverse. There were other black people in the Starbucks, and there were other black women. There were white people. I mean, it was a regular busy morning, people on their devices, people coming in and out.
And what did it say to you that there was so little reaction?
That it wasn't important. That, you know, something that had really changed my life didn't show up as meaningful or impactful for others besides Bob and the woman who came over. And I think one of the things I said to Bob after it happened is, this is so bizarre. Like, this just happened to us, but yet everyone's life just goes on as if nothing has happened. You know, you can still hear the machines whirring, you know, making milk steaming, like nothing stopped.
And that is bizarre to me. If we had been in a car wreck, would people have just walked by? Would people have stopped and tried to do something? It's been really interesting over the last month or so since the incident, and I posted my blog. I got a significant number of responses of people saying, well, no wonder they didn't respond. No one responded. You didn't respond. Well, I don't expect that anyone would physically intervene in an instant when neither one of us were physically responding. We were shocked by it. But I do expect that people would involve themselves afterward, as this woman did. I mean, the woman who notified the manager made a point of coming up to me and to Yoshiko and saying, look, this should never happen to people, and if you want a witness, I'm here. That seems to be sad to me that only one person did that.
Is what you were hoping for basically what that one woman did?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was hoping for. I mean, some of it's in retrospect, but even the police, when they came, the police officer said, I'm surprised that no citizens intervened. Sometimes people will intervene to hold someone until we get here. So they even noted, like, no one said stopped or even said anything to the person, like, get out of here, or, you know, challenged the young man who did this.
I want to ask you, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I wonder if maybe I'm one of these people, white male in my case, although there were others there, I might have been one of those people who wouldn't have responded. I'm trying to put myself in that space. For one thing, somebody yelled, I'm looking away, I probably didn't see spit. When I hear someone yell, even something like what he yelled at you, I think I probably would have thought there's a fight going on, even though there wasn't, right? It was probably a fight that didn't involve me. I'm not sure what's wanted of me in this situation. I might have kept on looking at my device. And I wonder, since the rest of the crowd isn't here, you can put it on me. Like, what does it say about me? What are you thinking that that says to you?
It says to me that your own personal whatever activity is more important than the community in which you're engaged. That seems to me a mistake. I think you need to look. If you hear something like that, you need to say, what's going on here? Is this something that does concern me? Because frankly, it was. This is a public space in which somebody assaulted two people. And if you allow that to happen as a member of a community, then what do you want from your community? What happens when it happens to you? Do you want somebody to be there to at least pay attention to the fact that you're being assaulted? It seems to me that the action is to ignore, and that's not something that you should do or I should do. You know, if it had been a child being beaten by an adult, would you have paid attention? If it had been somebody taking out some sort of weapon and hurting somebody, would you pay attention? At what level do you start paying attention? And my point is, if we're going to live as part of a community, we need to be aware of those things that happen. And let's say that this was a young man who knew us both and decided he was angry with us and decided to assault us. Well, regardless of that, you have a responsibility to know that that happened. You have a responsibility to not necessarily intervene. Again, I make the point that I don't expect people to intervene. I do expect people to pay attention.
My first reaction was that, man, a ruckus, something broke out. I don't think I would have said anything. It's not my business. But as you're explaining it so vividly now, I guess, yeah, I hope I would have at least said, are you okay?
I think that's all it takes for a community to act as a community. Something that simple.
Well, what gets us thinking about this is when you draw a connection between being quiet at a Starbucks, you know, in a case like this, a connection between that and a bigger a silence, a denial, an apathy. You start to hit people where they live, because I don't think most of our listeners, at least most of our white listeners, I'm not sure would make a connection between looking at their device, looking away, and a bigger apathy.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can support causes, right? And then it's another thing when it is there in your face. It's a different test, you know?
You know, here's something else, confessions of a white person here. It's awkward to come and say, that man just yelled horrible things at you. You know, I don't stand with that. I'm one of the good white people. It, you know, there's something that feels a little self-congratulating and patronizing about that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think that's something
like
white people
you can handle yourself.
I think that's something that, you know, like my white colleagues and friends who support our anti-racism work, that's something that they deal with, is wanting to be supportive but not patronizing, and wanting to participate but not come in as if they're going to run it and own it. That's not how I would have experienced that, but I think that's something that's a fair statement. Right. So I now approach this, you know, black couple as a white person who just experienced an assault by another white person. And what is that going to mean to them?
Right. So what's the right way to insert in a way that's respectful of you, of everything that's gone on?
What you said earlier, I think, is really a strong statement. Are you okay? Come and ask me if I'm okay. Don't ignore me. Don't look away. Don't pretend that nothing happened when something really did. We have the Seattle nice culture that we talk a lot about and we laugh about it. But underlying that are some really deep truths about who we are as a community in terms of being engaged with people who are different than us. We're more segregated today than we have been as segregated today as we have been in this city's history. I mean, look at our schools, look at our communities, who lives where. You know, all of that has significant impacts on how we interact with each other. And if we don't ask questions, if we don't engage, and especially when we see something deeply going wrong, if we don't engage in that, then we're at danger as a community of further segmenting, of further isolating ourselves from each other, and we'll never come to being aware of each other and our needs.
That's so interesting to think of even something as outrageous as that to have been an opportunity to just ask you a question. How are you doing? That stands in for so much, so many opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell people, just say, I don't know what to say, but I feel really uncomfortable. I mean, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to have it all perfect and processed and just, you know what? I don't know what to say in this moment, but I feel really uncomfortable about what I witnessed. And are you all okay? It doesn't need to be perfect.
Yoshiko Harden and Bob Hughes, both college administrators here in Seattle. Bob is an associate dean, Seattle University. Yoshiko, vice president of student services at Seattle Central. Yoshiko told me that what happened to her was traumatic, that she has been depressed, anxious, unable to focus, to sleep, and she wants you to know this is not an isolated incident, that this is part of the fabric of how racism and sexism play out. And I'd like to know, is that your experience? How have you personally seen race and gender and difference dealt with here in Western Washington? And what is your part in it? Write to us at record@kuow.org.